Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as you've been hearing, Attorney General Eric Holder has been testifying before Congress this morning about his decision to try self-professed 9/11 planner Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in a Manhattan civilian court. This has, of course, been a controversial decision that has caused heated debate on both sides. We thought you might like to hear at some length Attorney General Holder's opening statement, which he used to offer a very forceful and very specific point-by-point defense of the most controversial aspects of the decision and the critiques of it. So here is a full 5 minutes from Attorney General Holder's opening statement before the Senate Judiciary Committee this morning.
At the end of the day, it was clear to me that the venue in which we are most likely to obtain justice for the American people is in federal court. Now, I know there are members of this committee and members of the public who have strong feelings on both sides. There are some who disagree with the decision to try the alleged coal bomber and several others in a military commission, just as there are some who disagree with prosecuting the 9/11 plotters in federal court. Despite these disagreements, I hope we can have an open, honest, and informed discussion about that decision today. And as part of that discussion, I'd like to clear up some of the misinformation that I have seen since Friday. First, we know that we can prosecute terrorists in our federal courts safely and securely because we have been doing so for years. There are more than 300 convicted international and domestic terrorists currently in Bureau of Prisons custody, including those responsible for the 1993 World Trade Center bombing and the attacks on our embassies in Africa. Our courts have a long history of handling these cases, and no district has a longer history than the Southern District of New York in Manhattan. I have talked to Mayor Bloomberg of New York, and both he and Commissioner Kelly believe that we can safely hold these trials in New York. Second, we can protect classified material during trial. The Classified Information Procedures Act, or CIPA, establishes strict rules and procedures for the use of classified information at trial, and we have used it to protect classified information in a range of terrorism cases. In fact, the standards recently adopted by the Congress to govern the use of classified information in military commissions are derived from the very CIPA rules that we would use in federal court. Third, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed will have no more of a platform to spew his hateful ideology in federal court than he would have had in a military commission. Before the commissions last year, he declared the proceedings an inquisition. He condemned his own attorneys and our Constitution and professed his desire to become a martyr. Those proceedings were heavily covered in the media, yet few complained at that time that his rants threaten the fabric of our democracy. Judges in federal courts have firm control over the conduct of defendants and other participants in their courtrooms, and when the 9/11 conspirators are brought to trial, I have every confidence that the presiding judge will ensure appropriate decorum. And if Khalid Sheikh Mohammed makes the same statements he made in his military commission proceedings, I have every confidence that the nation and the world will see him for the coward that he is. I'm not scared of what Khalid Sheikh Mohammed has to say at trial, and no one else needs to be afraid either. Fourth, there is nothing common about the treatment the alleged 9/11 conspirators will receive. In fact, I expect to direct prosecutors to seek the ultimate and most uncommon penalty for these heinous crimes. And I expect that they will be held in custody under special administrative measures reserved for the most dangerous criminals. Finally, there are some who have said that the decision means that we have reverted to a pre-9/11 mentality, or that we don't realize that this nation is at war. 3 weeks ago, I had the honor of joining the president at Dover Air Force Base for the dignified transfer of the remains of 18 Americans, including 3 DEA agents who lost their lives to the war in Afghanistan. These brave soldiers and agents carried home on that plane gave their lives to defend the country and its values, and we owe it to them to do everything we can to carry on the work for which they sacrifice. I know that we are at war. Prosecuting the 9/11 defendants in federal court does not represent some larger judgment about whether or not we are at war. We are at war, and we will use every instrument of national power, civilian, military, law enforcement, intelligence, diplomatic, and others, to win. We need not cower in the face of this enemy. Our institutions are strong. Our infrastructure is sturdy. Our resolve is firm, and our people are ready.
Well, Attorney General Eric Holder speaking this morning. That was part of the opening statement that he gave before the Senate Judiciary Committee, explaining and defending the decision to put Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and other 9/11 alleged co-conspirators on trial in civilian court here in Manhattan. To review, he said that it's the best way to get justice for the American people. And he identified pieces of what he called misinformation that he said have been getting spread. He knows terrorism suspects can be tried safely in civilian court in New York because of a long, successful history of doing just that here without incident. He said we can protect classified information during trial as well as we can in a military commission. He said Khalid Sheikh Mohammed will have no more of a platform in civilian court to rant and spew than he did in his military courtroom at his previous hearing. And if he makes the same statements, he'll only discredit himself. So there's nothing common about his handling. People have said he's being handled like any common criminal. And speaking back to Rudy Giuliani, almost specifically, he said, we have not reverted to a pre-9/11 mentality, a phrase that Giuliani has been using to criticize this decision, pre-9/11 mentality, or don't realize this country is at war. And he gave some examples of how they very much realize it. Listeners, react to Attorney General Eric Holder. Post to our website at WNYC.org, or especially if you were skeptical of this decision going into that clip, did that 5-minute opening statement to the Senate Judiciary Committee convince you at all to the contrary? 212-433-WNYC. If you want to talk on the air, 212-433-9692, or you can post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. Dahlia Lithwick, senior editor for Slate, joins us to talk about this. She covers these issues. Hi, Dahlia. Welcome back to the show.
Hi there, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Pretty forceful defense by Attorney General Holder. Anything there really new for you?
Not too much. He, you know, I think what he did, and it's unfortunate, it shows the extent to which he had to play defense. I mean, he had to respond to the criticisms that folks like Giuliani and Michael Mukasey and Jeff Sessions have been making. And so, in a sense, I think he almost had to start from this posture of, wait, this isn't going to endanger Americans. And so I think it shows that he's already lost some ground if what he's doing is devoting his opening to responding to the kinds of things he heard on the Sunday show.
Well, let me pick out one of those which gets a lot of resonance, and that is we can protect classified information during a civilian trial as well as we could in a military commission. This, you know, that concern has a lot of resonance out there. So many people who are skeptical of this decision are citing that. I don't know if he went on as the hearing progressed to make that case in any detail. But what do you think? Is it convincing?
He made it in enormous detail in a colloquy he had shortly after his opening statement with Orrin Hatch, where he said, you know, Hatch brought out the two concrete examples of information, national security information, that was very damaging that came out after the 1993 terror trials. And the two pieces of information that are often cited to are, one, Osama bin Laden found out that we were listening in on his phones, and he stopped using his cell phone after that. And the other other is that all these co-conspirators were divulged, that the prosecution had to turn over this massive, massive list of co-conspirators, and that also compromised us. Holder went out of his way to say both of those pieces of information are not correct, that Osama had, in fact, stopped using his cell phone long before that. And that the co-conspirator list was never classified. He said if the prosecutors had sought to classify it, we could talk about classified information getting out, but it was not classified in the first place. So I think, again, he's responding to these very, very damaging claims that are being made by people like Michael Mukasey, who, in fact, oversaw one of those trials. And if Michael Mukasey says information is getting out, that's very, very hard to rebut. But Holder says, hey, the information that was disclosed was either disclosed prior to that, or it came out anyway. And then he made that point that was that the classification system at Guantanamo, the secret classification system, is based on the system that was employed in those earlier tries. So you can hardly say that there'll be more classified information or that the information at Gitmo trials would be more classified.
Not convinced yet is Barbara in Murray Hill. Barbara, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling. Barbara, turn your radio off. All right, we'll get back to Barbara in just a minute. You know what's interesting to me about this? The fact that's emerging, and tell me if you can confirm this as a fact, that this decision to prosecute in civilian court was never discussed with the president.
I don't know that I can confirm that one way or another. I know that it seemed a little bit as though both Obama was a little bit out of the loop, and it seemed as though Holder today testified that some things that Obama had said today he was hearing for the first time. So there may be a little bit of a communication gap between the
right.
two of them. Holder has said, and he said it again today, this was the single hardest decision he's had to take as the AG, and that he's really, really grappled with it. I think he really has made it plain again today that this is not something he arrived at easily.
Right. But from what I've been reading, he discussed it with somebody from the Pentagon. I don't know if that would have been the defense secretary himself, maybe not with the national security advisor and not with the president. And part of what strikes me as so interesting about that is that it's the exact opposite of the stance that President Bush was taking all those years on this very issue of how to treat detainees, right? Because the whole Bush stance was the president has sole authority as the unitary executive without going through the courts, without going through the Congress, without going through anybody. The president has the decision to make by himself, has the authority to decide how to treat individual detainees. And Eric Holder, after these Supreme Court decisions, which knocked Bush down several pegs, said, well, it's actually, in effect, said, it is not, it's my responsibility not to talk about this with the president because the president could be seen as a political figure and I'm just here to run the Justice Department the way that the law would seem to demand. Do you think I'm overinterpreting this?
No, I think that's exactly right. And I remember covering his confirmation hearings, and he made that point very explicitly, Brian, that he was not going to be as beholden to the president or as answerable to the president as his predecessors. And I think you're quite right that when we look back to who was setting these policies from the very beginning, the decision to suspend the Geneva Convention, the torture policies, that was coming out of the executive branch. So much of it was coming out of Dick Cheney's office, that I think there was always a question about how independent the Attorney General was under President Bush. So you're quite right to say, I think Obama and Holder have really tried to reassert that there is a distance between these two positions and that the AG doesn't answer to the president. He answers to the rule of law.
Barbara in Murray Hill, I think we have you now. Barbara?
Yes, I'm here, and I agree with everything that you're saying, Brian, along these lines, that he did not confer with Obama. And on an interview,
that's
I think
just what I've read in the papers, but
yes,
go ahead.
And Jim Lehrer interviewed him and said, who have you conferred with? And he said, my wife and my brother, who is a Port Authority security person. And that really shocked me. So I'm against the trial being here. I think it definitely should be a military in a military court since it is war crimes.
But
I just feel that there's going to be a platform for a lot of bad publicity.
Barbara, did the Attorney General convince you at all on that platform question? He said it would be no more of a platform in civilian court than Khalid Sheikh Mohammed had in the military courtroom at his previous hearing, where he did rant a lot, and it was covered by the media a lot, but nobody had a problem with his right to do it.
Well, I think the situation has changed a lot since then. I think we know what's going on with these people, and I'm just against it. Didn't convince me, no.
Barbara, thank you very much. And, you know, she said, Dahlia, military trial, the hard time that many people are having with this is that these are defendants representing a non-state army, in effect, that has declared war on the United States and is actively engaged in that war and wants to attack us again and again. Does that not make 9/11 more of a war crime than a civilian crime?
Well, this has always been the problem, Brian. I feel like you and I have had this conversation for years.
Right.
Is what paradigm are we going to set this in? Is this a criminal act, you know, the act of committing acts of terror, or is it an act of war? And as you'll recall, what the Bush administration did was kind of cherry-picked from the benefits of each of those two systems. And quite frankly, I think the Obama administration is doing the same thing, and that was quite clear today when Eric Holder said, well, I'm actually going to try some people in tribunals, and I'm going to try some people in criminal courts. So I think the Obama administration is, in that sense, doing exactly what the Bush administration did, which is say, well, yes, these are crimes, except for when we want to call them acts of war, because then we can avail ourselves of the benefits of the laws of war. So that actually hasn't changed much. And I think that what we heard today, again, in a colloquy with Jeff Sessions, who said, I don't understand. I just can't understand why you cannot continue to proceed along the lines of the military tribunal. And what we heard Holder say was, look, we're going to give everyone the presumption, everyone at Gitmo gets the presumption that they go to an Article III court, a federal civil court, unless they don't, in which case we're going to try them in a military court. So I think that what they're trying to do is have it both ways. Because it benefits them, and it turns entirely on the quality of the evidence they have against them. So I don't think what we're seeing is a massive paradigm shift. In that clip you just played, remember, Holder said, I'm well aware we're still at war. We recognize we're at war. We're acting under the auspices of our war powers. What we're really seeing is them saying, yes, we're at war. We're going to try this criminal trial thing because we think that the benefits outweigh the costs. But failing that, we're still going to operate under a war paradigm. And in fact, he said to Russ Feingold just a few moments ago, we may even avail ourselves of the power to detain them indefinitely.
Meaning if they're acquitted, they don't go free?
He was very clear that if they're acquitted, they don't go free. He said that Congress has passed a law that precludes us from setting them free. So he wants to make very, very sure that
have a trial then?
Exactly. Well, one of the things he said today was, I told the prosecutors in this case that failure is not an option. So he's essentially saying, this is a sure thing. Trust me, this is a sure thing. He said that the folks who are criticizing this decision, he used the words operating out of ignorance, that they don't have the evidence he has in front of them. This is a home run as far as he's concerned. And so your question, why have a trial, is all the more, I think, salient. You know, there's this question. If you know for sure that you're going to get, you seek the death penalty and get the death penalty, and if they're acquitted, you're going to hold them forever anyway, is this in fact just a modified version of what the Bush administration was doing?
So that hearing is still going on. Dahlia Lithwick from Slate, stay there. And Lindsey Graham is starting to question Attorney General Holder right now. Let's listen in live. Holder is responding to Graham's first question.
No, that would not.
But the administration's position would be, and this is not going to happen. I'm here to tell you that I'm sure he will get convicted in federal court, but not because we're threatening the judge or the jury, but just because of the nature of the case. That's not really my concern about what happens to him, because he will get his day. He will meet justice. But in the future, if one of these terrorists were taken to federal court and somehow acquitted or are given a short sentence and the administration still felt they presented a military threat to the country, you would have the legal authority to hold them as an enemy combatant, right?
I certainly think that under the regime that we are contemplating, the potential for detaining people under the laws of war, that ability, we would retain that ability.
Yes, so in a Sheikh Mohammed case, we're never going to let him go if something happened wrong in the federal court.
I don't anticipate that anything's going to go wrong in the
Nor do I, but here's my concern. Can you give me a case in United States history where a enemy combatant caught on a battlefield was tried in civilian court?
I don't know. I'd have to look at that. I think that, you know, the determination I've made...
We're making history here, Mr. Attorney General. I'll answer it for you. The answer is no.
Well, I think...
The Ghilani case, he was indicted for the Cole bombing before 9/11, and I didn't object to going into federal court. But I'm telling you right now, we're making history, and we're making bad history. And let me tell you why. If bin Laden were caught tomorrow, would it be the position of this administration that he would be brought to justice?
He would certainly be brought to justice, absolutely.
Where would you try him?
Well, we'd go through our protocol, and we'd make the determination about where he should appropriately be tried.
Would you try him? Why would you take him someplace different than KSM?
Well, that might be the case. I don't know. I'd have to look at all of the evidence, all of the...
Well,
He's been indicted already.
Does it matter if you use the law enforcement theory or the enemy combatant theory in terms of how the case would be handled?
Well, I mean, bin Laden's an interesting case in that he's already been indicted in federal court. We have cases against him.
Right. Well, where would you put him?
It would depend on how...
Well, let me ask you this question. Okay, let me ask you this. Let's say we capture him tomorrow. When does custodial interrogation begin in his case? If we captured bin Laden tomorrow, would he be entitled to Miranda warnings at the moment of capture?
Again, I'm not... That all depends. I mean,
well, it does not depend. If you're going to prosecute anybody in civilian court, our law is clear that the moment custodial interrogation occurs, the defendant, the criminal defendant, is entitled to a lawyer and to be informed of their right to remain silent. The big problem I have is that you're criminalizing the war, that if we caught bin Laden tomorrow, we have mixed theories and we couldn't turn him over to the CIA, the FBI, or military intelligence for an interrogation on the battlefield, because now we're saying that he is subject to criminal court in the United States, and you're confusing the people fighting this war. What would you tell the military commander who captured him? Would you tell him you must read him his rights and give him a lawyer? And if you didn't tell him that, would you jeopardize the prosecution in a federal court?
We have captured thousands of people on the battlefield, only a few of which have actually been given their Miranda warnings. With regard to bin Laden and the desire or the need for statements from him, the case against him at this point is so overwhelming.
Mr. Attorney General, the only point I'm making, that if we're going to use federal court as a disposition for terrorists, you take everything that comes with being in federal court. And what comes with being in federal court is that the rules in this country, unlike military law, you can have military operations, you can interrogate somebody for military intelligence purposes, and the law enforcement rights do not attach. But under domestic criminal law, the moment the person is in the hands of the United States government, they're entitled to be told they have a right to a lawyer and can remain silent. And if we go down that road, we're going to make this country less safe. That is my problem with what you have done. You're a fine man. I know you want to do everything to help this country be safe, but I think you've made a fundamental mistake here. You have taken a wartime model that will allow us flexibility when it comes to intelligence gathering, and you have compromised this country's ability to deal with people who are at war with us by interjecting into the system the possibility that they may be given the same constitutional rights as any American citizen. And the main reason that KSM is going to court apparently is because the people he decided to kill were here in America and mostly civilian, and the person going into military court decided to kill some military members overseas. I think that is a perversion of the justice system.
What I said repeatedly is that we should use all the tools available to us. Military courts, Article III courts. The conviction of Osama bin Laden, were he to come into our custody, would not depend on any custodial statements that he would make. The case against him both for those cases that have already been indicted. The case that he could make against him for the not his involvement in the 9/11 case would not be dependent on warnings, would not be dependent on custodial interrogations. And so I think in some ways you've thrown up something that is, with all due respect, I think is a red herring. Well, it would not be something.
With all due respect, every military lawyer that I've talked to is deeply concerned about the fact that if we go down this road, we're criminalizing the war and we're putting our intelligence gathering at risk. And I will have some statements from them to back up what I'm saying.
Senator Graham,
my time is up. I look forward to talking to you.
Sure.
All right, Senator Lindsey Graham, aggressively questioning Attorney General Eric Holder live in the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing about the decision to try Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and other 9/11 defendants in civilian court in Manhattan. Wow. Dahlia Lithwick, senior editor from Slate.com. That was some exchange.
You get the sense that he really was the superb JAG. I mean, he really, throughout the war on terror has been such a strong and eloquent voice for exactly what he's saying. This we are at war. This was an act of war. You know, military tribunals work just fine, and that's what's appropriate. It kind of is unfortunate he didn't let Holder get a word in edgewise, because I think Holder does have a response, at least to the question of what if we were talking about Osama bin Laden. But I do think the problem is that Graham and so many of the folks who are opposing the decision that's been taken to try them in federal courts still can't make the claim that the military tribunals that were, cooked up by the Bush administration post 9/11 work. And that's because they don't work. In all these years, we've only seen three convictions, and they've been disastrous. So I think the problem that Lindsey Graham has, and it's the only problem he has, because otherwise I think he's very persuasive, is that he doesn't put forth an alternative, because the alternative has been just an absolute train wreck.
But he left Eric Holder with several problems there, too. Holder couldn't think of any other military combatant in history who was tried in civilian court. He couldn't say where bin Laden would be tried, military or civilian, and why he might be treated any differently from his deputy Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who's going to civilian court. And he couldn't say whether bin Laden's Miranda rights would be read, although Graham said he's not concerned about Khalid Sheikh Mohammed getting convicted, even though he didn't get his Miranda rights read. But that's a lot to be back on his heels about if you're the Attorney General of the United States.
It's really, I mean, that was just a not Eric Holder's finest moment. I think it goes back to what we were talking about just before you cut to the clip, which is this is the problem when you've got a hybrid system that cherry picks from the best of military law and the best of criminal law, and you keep trying to go back and forth and live in both those worlds. It's very, very hard to answer to the claims that you're not being true to one or the other. And
So this is a decision of legal choice rather than legal necessity on the part of Eric Holder to put him in civilian court. He could have done either.
I mean, Holder was very clear that he everybody has the option of being tried in military court unless they opt to do the Article III courts. He was clear about that in his testimony. And it is, in some sense, it's a question of necessity that was really born of the decision 8 years ago to not try people in civilian courts, but also not try them in regularly constituted military courts.
And would he have a basis to stand on, as far as you know? You get now the luxury of a couple of minutes after Lindsey Graham asked the question to think about on what legal basis could they treat bin Laden differently if they captured him and put him in a military trial if they're treating his deputy Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in civilian court.
Well, I think that part of the problem is Eric Holder's been slicing or dicing based not on where they were captured, and that's what I think Lindsey Graham is saying. Look, if they're captured on the battlefield, one thing; if they're captured in the New York City subway system, another thing. Holder's saying, no, it depends on the target. And so I guess what Holder would say is, we are trying Khalid Sheikh Mohammed because his acts were criminal acts against civilians in New York City. I presume that would be the basis for which he would say That's why we would try Osama bin Laden in a criminal civilian court, because these are terrorist acts committed against American civilians. That's the basis from which, as I understand it and what he said today, that's the basis from which he's distinguishing the people that he determined would be tried in New York City from the people that committed acts of war against American soldiers. Those folks are being tried in military commissions.
Dahlia Lithwick, senior editor for Slate.com, thank you very much for joining us today. And it turned out to be kind of bookends around a very, very newsworthy and emotional moment in the Senate Judiciary Committee with Lindsey Graham and Eric Holder. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.